Well, good morning all once again. We'll start our we'll begin our study this morning in the book of Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. And I in no way have exhausted all that we could look at in this one verse. I was telling Pastor Gene this morning, we could spend the rest of our lives on this earth with just this one verse and not exhaust all the gospel truths that we see here. Yet I do believe the Lord is going to allow me to finish this study from this verse this morning, my studies that He has laid on my heart to bring. And I ask for your prayers in where to go next. Michael has asked me to continue being the Bible teacher, and I've accepted. And I'm going to be gone next week. Mike's going to bring a study for us, and then Lord willing, I'll continue with something after that. So I ask for your prayers and what the Lord might lead us in a study from that point on, and I'll be praying about it myself for the next 2 weeks. This morning we're going to look at the title, The Everlasting Father. As a reminder, our studies are about unto us a child is born. The promise of God of the coming Messiah, on which all other promises hinge on. Ephesians 1:3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." All blessings, all promises of God come in and through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the only mediator between God and men. Our studies have been taking us through this list of names, or titles as it were. These titles are descriptive names describing His character. In the days of old, people were given names because they meant something. Today, a name may not mean anything at all. We'll use the word John, for example, and we all know what that means, right? But in the old days, names meant something. For instance, "And His name shall be called Wonderful." To a child of God, one who has been enlightened of what we truly are, sin, nothing, His name, the Lord Jesus Christ, is most wonderful to us, because for nothing that we have earned, nothing that we have done, but because of His love for us, He went to the cross and paid our debt. Just for that reason alone. And there's many, 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 many more reasons than that. Counselor. His name. His name shall be called Counselor. As we saw, there is no other place on this earth where we can find better counsel than the Word of God itself. And God's people look to His Word for counsel, because that's the only place we're going to find counseling, where we will find truth. His name shall be called the Mighty God. The Mighty God. There's only one. And He is all-powerful ruler over all things. His name shall be called the Prince of Peace. Our only peace, as Mike was bringing out in his devotion, can be only in Christ Jesus the Lord. When we see that all things work to the good to those who love Christ, who are called by Him, we have peace knowing no matter what happens out here, this hurricane that went through, the terrorist who took out the towers, whatever you may look at in your own lives that bring trouble to you, you have peace through that if you're a child of God, because we know that Christ is in control. He's God Almighty, ruler of all things. And this morning we look at the Everlasting Father. Last week I brought out in several verses of Scripture where it declares that Christ is God in human form. Don't need to turn there, but in Matthew 1:23, I'll repeat a couple of these verses. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. I also brought out John 10:30, where it says, "I and my Father are one." Or Philippians 2:6, where it says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Or in John 14:9, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ bodily. A mystery, yes. How can there be only one God, yet there be three of the Godhead? And I do not pretend to understand it, nor can I explain it. But God's word declares it, therefore it is so. Amen. Turn to John chapter 17, if you would, please. The 17th chapter of John. Three distinct persons, yet they are one of mind, one of purpose, and one of means. And though we look to Jesus our Lord for all worship and all praise, we must not forget that he too looked to his Father. Are you with me in John chapter 17? Yes. I'm going to read a little scripture this morning, folks. We're going to read this entire chapter here and we'll read a little more. So, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father. Our Lord Jesus addressed the Father himself, shouldn't we? The hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world that hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I gave them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in the one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, excuse me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me believe me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. I know that was a lot of scripture, but I felt it necessary we read the whole thing as one, all the way through. And I don't know how the Lord might touch your heart with that, but I know he has mine. Let's not forget that God the Father also spoke to his Son. You don't need to turn there, but in Matthew 3:17 it says, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Everything our Lord did was pleasing to the Father. Even in his death, he submitted himself to the Father's will. In Luke 22:41 and 42 it says, "And he was withdrawn," speaking of Jesus, "from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed," thank you, Bill, "saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Our Lord Jesus spoke to the Father. We cannot forget, and I don't know about you folks, but I tend to sometimes forget that there are three different ones. Three different beings, but yet one. Our Lord spoke to the Father on our behalf. Our Lord did all things perfectly, including the obedience to the Father, even to the death of the cross. Imagine God the Son saying to his Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So that God would not forsake us, even to the death of the cross. Remember in our text, Isaiah 9, it says, a son is given. God the Father gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1, please. Because Christ was obedient even unto death, us, God's elect, have been accepted in the Beloved, Jesus Christ the Lord. We are sons and daughters of God because of what Christ has done. We can cry out, Abba, Father. Are you with me in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of time, of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Notice it said that we are sealed or confirmed with that Holy Spirit of promise. What did I say earlier? All blessings, all promises, everything comes through Christ. When God has purposed something, you can count on it being fulfilled. We can come to this everlasting Father because he has paid the price. We stand in the righteousness of him who had no sin but was made to be sin for us. He who took our place and took that which we deserve. He who died in our stead, our substitute, now sits on his throne in heaven, ruling over all things. When we pray to the Father, we are praying to the Son. You don't need to turn there, but in Matthew 6 it says, "Our Father which art in heaven." This is how we're to pray. This is with the Lord's teachings. He's showing his disciples how to pray. Mike, you can pray, "My Father which art in heaven." All of God's children can pray, "My Father which art in heaven." "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy is the one who sits on his throne. Your name is above all names. Every knee shall bow. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Our Lord Jesus is the fulfillment of all the promises of God. If you are in Christ, then all things are for your good. Isn't that what we saw in Romans 8:28? If you are in Christ, God loves you with an everlasting love. So how do I know if I am in Christ Jesus the Lord? I ask you this morning. Do you see him as your Lord? Not this Jesus of the world's religions. This one who is taught to want. This one who wants to say but can't, or is trying to say but can't because you won't let him. That's no God at all. It's a figmentation of somebody's imagination. Somebody who said, "I will not have the true Jesus Christ, the true God Almighty, rule over me." They couldn't handle that. They thought, "No, I'm bigger than that. I'm bigger than what he says I am. I will not have that God. I'll make one up. One that I can control." That's not the God of Scriptures. Do you see him, Jesus Christ, as your Lord? Is he the Christ of Scriptures, the Lord of all, your Lord also? It says in Scriptures, "Whosoever believeth on him," according to the Scriptures that is, "whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Pastor?